Well, the New South Wales Irrigators Council and Cotton Australia have raised concerns about several statements made by Marianne Slattery from the River Integrity Project on yesterday's Country Hour. Ms Slattery made multiple claims against irrigators and the cotton industry that Cotton Australia say were not based on facts. They say her suggestion that the Section 324 of the Water Management Act 2000 is completely ineffective for big irrigators. They say that's not true and unfairly misrepresents irrigators and the cotton industry. I put some of those issues that Marianne Slattery raised to General Manager of Cotton Australia, Michael Murray. He says regional communities work within the rules every day to manage water in a sustainable manner, and these comments do damage and reflect negatively on the efforts of northern basin growers.
Oh, absolutely, Michael. I mean, this is a Section 324 order under the Water Management Act 2000. And, you know, as irrigators, we may not particularly like Section 324 orders, but from a government point of view, they're a highly effective, a highly blunt instrument, but a highly effective instrument. And it is simply wrong, 100% wrong, that it doesn't impact on the take of water when those water flows are there.
But Marianne Slattery was saying that about 80% of the water is controlled by about 8 families, and I can go through the families if you like the Harris family, that we're talking about, formerly Darling Farms, which is Australian Food and Fibre, the Brownhill family. There's a whole range of about 10 families that control about 85% of the water. Are you saying that's not right?
Well, I don't even know what the individual ownership is. I find that extraordinarily likely to be incorrect. This is covering the whole area from the border rivers right down through to the Namoi, numerous the license holders. But who owns the water is entirely irrelevant. It's the fact that no matter who owns it, they can't access it. This Section 324 order puts an embargo on taking floodplain harvesting water, supplementary water, unregulated water across the whole Barwon Darling from the Namoi north, including the stream. So if there is an event tomorrow, and in a way, some of this is slightly irrelevant, because while it's dry and there's no water flow, there's no opportunity to take any water full stop. But if there was a rainfall event tomorrow, the only irrigators that could take their normal access to that would be the A-class irrigators on the Barwon Darling, which is the smallest number, and completely at odds with what Marianne said. She said that this favours the big irrigators. The A-class owners, A-class licences are the ones that were basically the high priority licences on the Barwon Darling. They're held by a whole range of people, from large irrigators to small irrigators, but in total they only amount to 10,000 megs. Everyone else will not be able to touch a supplementary flow, an unregulated flow, a floodplain harvesting event.
And yet, when you look at the Natural Resource Commission review that they did in about 2020, they were saying that there is an opportunity for many of these large irrigators, like the Harris family and Australian Food and Fibre and After Hours Ag, to take water not from the river but from the tributaries, and that's perfectly legal for them to do that, and that's how they actually can access water when you can't take any water from the river, and that sort of is in line with what Marianne Slattery was saying.
And again, she's totally incorrect. The tributaries that she's presumably talking about is the the border rivers river system, is the Guida river system, is the Namoi river system. And this Section 324 applies right across the northern basin from the Namoi Valley up. You simply cannot take water when there's Section 324 in, with the exception of the A-class licences on the Barwon Darling.
And yet, it is a bit of a grey area, though, because we've had Fran Sheldon talk about this as well, where there is the ability to take water if you're not taking it from the river itself, taking it from some of those tributaries, which can be quite substantial, apparently, in some of those areas, that falls outside of these sorts of water restriction regulations that the government's imposed.
Michael, read the Section 324 order. It covers all those tributaries.
Well, we seem to be at odds, because there is reporting on this that there is the ability to take some of that water when it's not in the river, and it doesn't actually the tributaries aren't actually controlled by this regulation?
I have no idea what tributaries they are talking about if they're not about the main trunk of the Boyer Rivers and the McIntyre flowing into Mungindi, about the Gwydir River where it enters into the Barwon Darling, and Hall above it, the Namoi where it enters into the Barwon Darling. They are all covered by the Section 324. I do not know where these people are getting these responses from. And maybe they're talking in some way outside when a Section 324 applies.
Well, I'll give you an example. Merrillin is it's an Anna branch that's actually the Harris family control, and apparently it falls outside this regulation. That's just one example that has been cited by Fran Sheldon.
Well, the water still has to get in there somehow, and it's only going to get in there if there's a supplementary event or a floodplain harvesting event. There are some exceptions in the Macquarie Valley. They must be very, very minor tributaries. There is absolutely no doubt that the vast majority of water that would flow in these systems while 324 is in place is completely untouchable by irrigators. There is absolutely no doubt. I can't talk about that Anna branch specifically. I'm not across the detail there. But having been involved in irrigation across the north, I can assure you whatever, if there is any exemption there, it would be a tiny, tiny percentage of total flows.
Yeah, but they're saying there's a loophole. Fran Sheldon has talked about this loophole, and Marianne Slattery alluded to it as well. You don't think there is a loophole?
Marianne Slattery said basically big irrigators were basically unaffected by this, and that is patently, completely, 100% wrong, Michael.
The other issue too, I guess, is that a lot of this water is food and fibre might be at risk, but, I mean, we're talking really about cotton, aren't we?
Well, the crop is irrelevant, but, yes, you made comments around cotton and made comments that, you know, it's all exported. You know, it doesn't employ people and all that other sort of nonsense. Now, when asked this question that during the Senate Restoring the River Act inquiry by Senator Hanson-Young, she said, well, what is IBIS World, an independent group that estimate what the employment out of an industry is? And they estimated in 2023 that the Australian cotton industry directly employs over 12,000 people. We produce export income of between $1.5 billion and $4 billion, depending on our seasons. Yes, our cotton gets exported overseas. Much of it comes back. And last year, over 50 million articles proudly wore the Australian cotton market. If someone, for whatever reason, decided to ban the growing of cotton tomorrow, not one drop less water would be used in Australia. Water is not allocated to any crop. Water is allocated to the entitlement holder. The entitlement holder then chooses. So all that would do is that they would choose whatever was their next best economic choice to grow. The argument should be about how much water needs to be maintained for the environment, for a healthy environment, and how much can be used for extractive use.
I wanted to ask you another issue too about this issue of social licence. Do you feel as though, you know, with this water restriction change the government's made, that it is actually a bit of an attack on the cotton industry?
Look, I don't see it as an attack on the cotton industry, Michael. I think the government is reacting to an extended dry period, and they see this one way of adjusting to it. Now, somewhat disappointingly they've changed the trigger level. Now, in a large part, the reason for lifting that trigger is that there's infrastructure down in Benindi that is old, ageing, and in need of serious repair, and it actually requires a higher level of water against it. Yeah, that's not a great driver for changing the rules when there should have been investment in that infrastructure. But what a Section 324 does is stops you taking water that you would have been otherwise able to take when an event occurs.
Michael Murray, who's the General Manager of Cotton Australia. Now, we've gone back to the department about some of those issues to get clarification. We want to clarify whether the embargo actually does affect or doesn't affect general storage, what's held in general storage, and there's quite a lot held in general storage at the moment. Whether the embargo affects A-class licences, we're hearing it doesn't affect A-class licences. Whether it affects floodplain harvesting on the Barwon-Darling, whether it significantly doesn't affect floodplain harvesting on the Barwon-Darling, which is where the big pumps will happen, including the ability to pump unrestricted from those Anna branches and tributaries that we're talking about there with Michael Murray as well, and just looking at some of those areas that the general storage is one of the areas actually has general storages at the moment of about 100%. It's coming up to 10 minutes to one.
The ABC Listen app has a fresh new look that makes it easier to find what you're looking for. Tap into the brand new tabs at the top of your home screen to tune into favourite stations and explore a world of podcasts at your fingertips. Download and try it out today.
Yeah, Blinky Bill's just texted in to say, Blinky Bill, good name there. That's texted in to say the recent flow down the Ballon, 40 gigalitres that came into the Darling via the Colgoa and Bacara, is able to be pumped via A-class licences, according to Blinky Bill.